Almighty Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we humbly bow our hearts before your throne of grace on this, your holy Sabbath day. We give all honor, glory, and praise to your name, Father. You know exactly what we have need of, even before we ask. We ask, Father, that you would heal all those that need a healing that are on the prayer list today, that you would comfort those who've lost loved ones. Truly, Father, you know how to console as only you can. Each one of us, Father, that have a petition before you are seeking your intervention in our lives. We ask, Father, that you would truly bless each one that is seeking you today. Be Yahweh Yireh, our provider, giving us the help we have need of. Those that are at this present time seeking to be released, Father. Those who are seeking to be clothed, fed, housed, whatever the needs are, Father, we ask that you would hear and answer prayer. We know that our time is very short before Yahshua returns. And we ask, Father, that you would truly bless the people and raise up a people in these last days to do your will. And to do that which is right in your sight, with your power and your authority, that Holy Spirit that was given on Pentecost, Father, that clothed your assembly, that went forth with that power and authority to build the kingdom of Yahweh. We ask, Father, for that release again in these last days, that each one of your people would do your will and put you first in everything that we do. We love you, Father. We know that we are here because of you and for you. So we thank you and ask that you would open our hearts to the implanted words that you've prepared for us this day, and that it might move us to do your will and do that which is right in your sight. We do love you and thank you for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah, and it's in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You may all be seated. This message is entitled, The Remnant of Her Seed. We have been on a journey from Egyptian bondage to Mount Sinai to receive the covenant from Yahweh, the Mighty One, or Elohim of Israel. This was a physical journey for Israel several thousand years ago, but it is a spiritual journey for each one of us today. Almighty Yahweh has called us out of sin. The spiritual journey helps us to understand what our challenges are and how to overcome them. Israel of old saw the miracles in Egypt in the form of plagues. They saw the Red Sea parted and walked through on dry ground. They saw the Egyptians drowned in the Red Sea and still doubted Yahweh's power. He provided bread from heaven and sought a righteous seed, a remnant, to worship him. Turn to Exodus chapter 19, and we'll start in verse 1. That's Exodus chapter 19. In verse 1. In the third month, after the children of Israel had gone out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came into the wilderness of Sinai. And when they had departed from Rephidim and had come to the wilderness of Sinai, they encamped in the wilderness. And there Israel encamped before the mount. And Moses went up to Elohim, and Yahweh called him out of the mountain, called to him out of the mountain, saying, In this manner shall you say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel. You see here, he uses Jacob and Israel. This is the same person. This is the same people. Jacob is another name used for Israel throughout the Old Testament. It's synonymous with Israel. Remember, his name was Jacob, but it was changed after he wrestled with the angel to Israel. We have to become Israel, and I'm not speaking of changing our last name to Israel, okay? We're talking about the change spiritually. We're not talking about what's put on a piece of paper. We're talking about our attitude and the way we do what Yahweh commands us to do. So he's speaking to a specific people. This book, the Holy Scriptures, was written to and about the children of Israel. This is a Hebrew Israelite book, okay? Now, in verse 4, he says, "You have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be my own possession from among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." So Yahweh wants his people to be a special kingdom, a special people, okay? He says, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That term holy is Kadesh. It means to be set apart for a special purpose. Now, we're being set apart to do Yahweh's will in the earth. We're not set apart to do our own thing. We're not set apart just to be considered something special, as a lot of people believe they are. No, we're here to do a job for Yahweh. We're not here for ourselves. We were created to glorify him, to give him praise. And this is something I've been encouraging people to do as long as I've had a ministry. You know I love to sing. Okay, I love to praise Yahweh, but we need more of it. We need more people to praise Yahweh. And you don't have to sing. You can play an instrument. You can, you know, read a psalm. You can do whatever when it comes to what Yahweh's moving you to do. Now, some people want to dance. You can dance. There's not a problem with people dancing before Yahweh, but it has to be for him, not for yourself. See, there are a lot of people when they are so-called performing, they're performing for themselves. They want the praise. This is what the devil wants every time he motivates you to do something. He wants to get that praise. If it doesn't go to Yahweh, it goes to him. You understand? See, when King Herod gave the oration and everybody said, "Oh, that's the voice of a mighty one," he was human. But he was inspired to do it by Yahweh. And he didn't give Yahweh the praise. So therefore, he was eaten up with worms. He died because he didn't give the praise to whom it belonged. And we have to give Yahweh his praise, brethren. This is one of the reasons that we come and worship him. We don't come here for ourselves. We come here for him, to give praise to him, to give honor and glory to him. This is our purpose. So he says, you know, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, that's his commandments, then you shall be my own possession from among all people. Now, when you look around, you'll see there's not a whole lot of people in the room right now, okay? Look at all the people out here in the world. There's billions of people on this planet. How many of them are worshiping Yahweh today? Very few. Very few. Now, even you can break it down even more, because there are a lot of people, you have Seventh-day Adventists who are worshiping him today, right? But they're not using the name. They're not giving him his glory. due to his name. All right. He says in verse 6, and you shall be for me a kingdom of priests. What do priests need? I'll give you a hint. Malachi chapter 2. Okay? And we'll go there next after I finish the rest of verse 6. Well, actually, I want to read down to verse 8. It says, these are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now, Moses was commanded to speak these words to Israel. In verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people, the leaders, and set before them all these words which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. Are we doing all of Yahweh's commandments, brethren? Are we keeping what he's commanded us to keep? Now, over in Malachi chapter 2, in verse 3, it says, behold, I will rebuke your seed and will spread dung upon your faces, even the dung of your feast, and you shall be taken away with it. Your seed are your children, and you shall know that I have sent this commandment to you, that my covenant may be with Levi, says Yahweh of hosts. My covenant was with him of life and peace. And he feared me and stood in awe of my name. How many people stand in awe of the name of Yahweh today? Not very many. But this is our job, to let the world know that they need to stand in awe of Yahweh's name. Verse 6, the law of truth was in his mouth, and unrighteousness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many away from iniquity, from sin. Verse 7, for the priest's lips should keep knowledge, and they should seek the law at his mouth, for he is the messenger of Yahweh of hosts. Now, if the priest's lips are to keep knowledge, that means you need to know. You need to have the words for those who are seeking Yahweh. When they come before you, you should be able to tell them what Yahweh wants them to know. What's in this book? See, Yahweh has called us to do a work in these last days. The Eliyahu message is that we teach and preach the name of Yahweh throughout the world, okay? But not just that. It says that we're going to baptize them, right? When you look at Mark 16, it has a few things that we're supposed to do along with that. He says in verse 16, well, before that, verse 15, Mark 16, 15. And he said to them, go you into all the world and preach the good tidings to the whole creation, to everybody. He that believes and is immersed, baptized, shall be saved. But he that disbelieves shall be condemned. So we have to be very convincing to those that we take this message to. Turn over to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. I'm going to start in verse 1. And a great sign was seen in heaven. A woman arrayed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. This, in verse 1, represents Israel. It represents Israel. Remember, most religions are represented as women. Verse 2, and she was with child, and she cries out, travailing in birth, and in pain to be delivered. And there was seen another sign. So she was in pain. She was going to give birth to this child. And there was seen another sign in heaven. Now, this first sign that's in heaven is also a sign. And it is seen in heaven. These are stars that make up these different constellations. And this other sign that's seen in heaven in verse 3 is, behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his head 7 diadems. And his tail draws the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stands before the woman that is about to be delivered, that when she is delivered, he may devour her child. Now, we can look at the scriptures and prove and show that Satan the devil was using Herod to try to kill the baby Yahshua that was born. He went in and did infanticide, kill all of the children in Bethlehem from the age 2 and under. But Joseph, his father, was warned in a dream to take the child and go down to Egypt, which he did. See, he listened. So the child was saved. Now, he wanted to devour her child. And in verse 5, and she was delivered of a son, a man child, who is to rule all the nations with a rod of iron. And we know from the scriptures in Psalm 110 and Psalm 2 that this is speaking about the Messiah. He's the only one that's going to rule all the nations. Now it says, and her child was caught away to Elohim and to his throne. He's the only one that has gone into heaven. You understand? No man has gone to heaven but Yahshua, who came from heaven. John chapter 3 verifies that. Verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of Elohim, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years. That woman represents the assembly, the people of Yahweh. Now, Yahshua has told us that if we're faithful, if we are doing his will, we as elect, as those who are the remnant, are going to be protected for the 3.5 years during the tribulation, which is soon coming upon this earth, brethren. This is why I'm so adamant in teaching this subject, because you have to have the people ready. Yahweh is not going to do something that he hasn't warned the people. He's warning the people of this earth right now what is going to happen. Now, it backtracks in verse 7. It says, and there was war in heaven, Michael and his angels going forth to war with the dragon, and the dragon warred and his angels. And they prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast down, the old serpent, he that is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. And he has deceived the whole world. The people of this world worship the dragon. And they will during the tribulation even more directly than now. Right now, the wool is pulled over their eyes because they can't see clearly. But he was cast down to the earth, and his name, angels were cast down with him. Now, we saw in verse 6 that, no, not verse 6. In verse 4, that they were cast upon the earth, the third of the angels that followed the devil was sent down to the earth, and Satan himself was sent down, like the earth is his domain. And it is, until Yahshua returns. Yahshua has the victory over the devil and death and the grave. When he returns, he's going to receive that kingdom. Now, verse 10, and I heard a great voice in heaven saying, now is come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our Elohim and the authority of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, who accuses them before our Elohim day and night. And this is what Satan the devil does. He accuses us before Yahweh day and night. But we have an advocate with the Father. See, those who have been baptized in Yahshua's name, we have an advocate. We have someone that fights for us and pleads for us before Yahweh. Verse 11, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb, because we've received that covering of Yahshua's blood, and because of the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe for the earth and for the sea, because the devil is gone down to you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. The devil has a very short time. Turn over to 3 John. 3 John. Remember, we're on a journey, and that journey is to the kingdom of Yahweh. Each one of us is traveling on this journey. Now, you might say, well, yeah, we're traveling, we're in life. And in life, you have ups and downs, you deal with problems, you deal with things that ordinarily you got to deal with. That's just part of life. Now, Stephen Covey wrote, we're not human beings on a spiritual journey. We're spiritual beings on a human journey. Now, you might think that it said the same thing, but it doesn't. See, because the context is different. When you are looking at yourself as being human, as being carnal, you're giving yourself to the world, because the world is carnal, okay? But if you're a spiritual being, once you've accepted Yahshua the Messiah, you've received the gift of the Holy Spirit, then you can understand what Yahshua did. He took himself from being the Son of Yahweh and became the Son of Man. He came to this earth on a human journey, even though he was spiritual. And that's what we have to be. We have to be like Yahshua, because this world is not our home, and we can't act like it is. We're citizens of a greater kingdom, which is soon coming to this earth. Now, in 3 John, it says, the elder, in verse 1, to Gaius, the beloved, whom I love in truth, beloved, I pray that in all things you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and bore witness to your truth, even as you walk in truth. No greater joy have I than this, than to hear my children walking in the truth. See, most people in this world think they have truth, and they think they're walking in truth until you show them that they're in error. You know, and a lot of people don't want to hear they're in error because they think they know that they're in truth, but as soon as you show them what the Bible says, and that kind of upsets their apple cart, they either get with the program or they get angry. And then they're going to, you know, go in the other direction. But we don't want them to go in the other direction. We want them to prove all things and hold fast to that which is good. We want them to prove that, you know, the word is true. And the word of Yahweh is true. All men, just like the devil, are liars. You understand? In verse 5, it says, Beloved, you do a faithful work in whatever you do toward them that are brethren and strangers with all, who bore witness to your love before the assembly, whom you will do well to set forward on their journey worthily of Yahweh. So we try to do our best in everything that we do for Yahweh. The journeys that we take, you know, it's something about going on a journey for Yahweh. When you're on a journey, when you're doing his work and his will, the people treat you differently than if you're on vacation. If you're, you know, like traveling just on a vacation, it's different than if you're on a journey for Yahweh, because your specific focus is strictly on doing his will. You understand? Whereas though when you're relaxing or whatever and you're going to the beach, it's mainly for your personal relaxation. And I'm not saying you won't witness and people will ask of the hope that's within you. But being on that journey for Yahweh, you're more focused on what you're trying to accomplish. Of course, when we're relaxing, we're at the beach, we want to accomplish relaxation. We want to kind of recharge our batteries. But here, what John is telling the brethren here about going, being set forward on their journey worthily of Yahweh. And each one of us has to be worthily of Yahweh on the journey that we're on, because we're doing it for him. We're not doing it for ourselves. Because that for the sake of the name, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. Now, this is the sake of Yahweh's name that we're doing what we're doing. You understand? We're not doing it for our own name. We're doing it for Yahweh. We therefore ought to welcome such that we may be fellow workers for the truth. And this is something that I enjoy. Like I said, when I'm traveling, whether it's in Africa or wherever, the brethren receive you in the name of Yahweh, and it's a blessing. It's a blessing, not only for them, but for you. See, because they are showing you that they love Yahweh when they accept you. If they don't accept you, what does the scripture say? Shake the dust off your feet and keep moving. See? That will be a witness against them. Now, in verse 9 it says, I wrote somewhat to the assembly, but Diotrephes, who loved to have the preeminence among them, received this not. And this was the bishop. He was the leader of a particular assembly. And he wanted the glory, just like the Pharisees. They wanted the glory that belonged to Yahweh. And he says here, therefore, if I come, I will bring to remembrance his works, which he does, chattering against us with wicked words, and not content with that. Neither does he himself receive the brethren and them that would he forbids and casts out of the assembly. We dealt with that in our former affiliation, and that was enough, because we had people like that who acted like that, like it was their assembly. It's Yahweh's assembly. You understand? And we're just workers, and we have to receive who Yahweh sends, whether they're on a journey or not. If they're doing Yahweh's will, we're supposed to support that. See, where they were not supporting the brethren on this journey. Now, he says in verse 11, Beloved, imitate not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that does good is of Yahweh, but he that does evil has not seen Yahweh. So this is talking about even leaders in the faith. Unless they repent, They haven't seen Yahweh. They don't know Yahweh. If they treat you in a negative manner, and they're treating you as if you've done something wrong, as if you're a sinner, they have to look at themselves. And this is what we have to do. We look at that mirror. We're looking at ourselves and how we are supposed to be Yahweh's people, how we're supposed to treat one another. If the love of the brethren is not in your assembly, you're not of Yahweh. I'm telling you. Demetrius has the witness of all and of the truth itself. Yes, we also bear witness, and you know that our witness is true. The truth is not hard to find, brethren. Now, turn over to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And we're going to start in verse 1. The vision of Isaiah the son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, give ear, O earth, for Yahweh has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel does not know, my people does not consider. Ah, sinful nation, a people loaded with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children who deal corruptly, they have forsaken Yahweh. They have despised the Holy One of Israel. They are estranged and gone backwards. Why will you be still stricken that you revolt more and more? The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and fresh stripes. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers, devour it in your presence. It is desolate, as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Zion is left as a booth, a tabernacle, in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city, except Yahweh of hosts had left us a very small remnant. We should have been as Sodom. We should have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of Yahweh, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. He's talking about Israel right now. This is who he's talking about. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices, says Yahweh. I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of bullocks or of lambs or he-goats. When you come to appear before me, which we are doing this weekend, brethren, keeping the Feast of Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. Who has required this at your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more vain oblations. Incense is an abomination to me, new moon and Sabbath, the calling of assemblies. I cannot endure iniquity along with the solemn meeting. Now, he's not saying bring no more oblations. He's saying bring no more vain oblations. He does not say I cannot endure the solemnity, the solemn meetings. He says, I cannot endure iniquity, sin in these solemn meetings. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates, not his. He's not saying he hates the new moons or the feast days. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them because of the sin that was brought along with it, because of the sin that was associated with it. Now, one of the things you have to understand is that Almighty Yahweh expects us to be at the feast. He expects us to do Yahweh's commandments. We're commanded to come to the feast. We're commanded to do his will. Now, just like the Sabbath, we're commanded to come before Yahweh and keep the Sabbath and to keep it holy. You know, a lot of people say they keep the Sabbath, but they're not keeping it holy. They're not doing Yahweh's will. They're doing their own thing on the Sabbath. Verse 15, he says, and when you spread forth your hand, I will hide my eyes from you. Yes, when you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. In other words, repent. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek justice. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Now, judging the fatherless, pleading for the widow, that's third tithe. Third tithe starts Day of Atonement this year. Third tithe. Now, if you are failing in doing that, you're oppressing those people that that money's supposed to go to. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken it. We don't want to be devoured. We don't want to be destroyed. Yahweh preserved Israel during the great famine of Egypt, just like he's going to preserve his elect in these last days. Because there's a famine in these last days of hearing the word of Yahweh. See, there are not a lot of people out here who are teaching the word of Yahweh. They're preaching what they want to preach, but it's not the word of Yahweh. Even though they might associate Yahweh's name with it, it's not the word of Yahweh. It may be how do they put it? Some more or less, as the Christian counselors call it, some social gospel. Okay? It's basically that's what it is, social gospel. It's not the word of Yahweh, even though they may use Yahweh's name. In Genesis chapter 45, turn over to Genesis chapter 45. We'll start in verse 1. Then Joseph could not control himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from him. And there stood no man with him. He sent away all of the Egyptians, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians heard, and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence because of what they had done to him. See, they were guilty. You understand? And when you sin, you're full of guilt. And you got to get rid of that guilt. And what did Joseph do? He was the type of Yahshua the Messiah to his brethren, to the house of Israel. And Joseph said to his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. And now be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for Elohim sent me here before you to preserve life. He sent me for a reason, a purpose. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and there are yet 5 years more, in which there shall be neither plowing nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you, a remnant in the earth. Brethren, the remnant of her seed, her being Israel, in these last days, it's us. We have to be this remnant. We have to be this elect of Yahweh. See, who are going to preserve life as Joseph preserved life. So Elohim in verse 7 sent me before you to preserve you a remnant in the earth and to save you alive by a great deliverance. See, because that great famine was going to destroy and most of the people were going to die because they didn't have food. You have to have food to survive. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. See, Yahweh allows things to go on in your life for a reason. He allows you to go through some hard times so that you can be ready to be used by him for what he wants to use you for. A lot of people complain about what they go through, not knowing that Yahweh is doing it to get them ready. Now, this great tribulation that's coming upon the earth is going to be the worst time, according to the scriptures, than any other time on this planet. We've already had some bad times on this planet, but we're talking about worse than any other time. Now, can you imagine having to survive in a time like that? Unless Yahweh does what he does, which is protects us, he's going to take his elect and he's going to protect them. Unless he protects us, no flesh would be saved. 2/3 of this world's population is going to die. 2/3. That's a lot of people, billions of people. Now, what I've been teaching and showing people, that third that's left are going to be children. They're going to be under the age of accountability. They're going to be young. And they're going to need to be taught during the 1,000-year millennium. And this is what Yahweh is using the elect for. This is why you have to get this knowledge now. You have to know the word. What did it say in Malachi chapter 2? The priest's lips should keep knowledge. They have to know the word. You must know this, brethren, if you plan on being one of those priests and kings during that 1,000-year millennium. If you don't know the word, how can you be of use to Yahweh? How can you teach these children what you don't know yourself? I tell everybody, if you study an hour a day, you will learn the word. You'll know it. You'll be an expert in 5 years. I don't know how long we have left. I don't. But I do know we have prayer line in the morning for an hour, and we're in the word. We do it in the evening, Monday to Wednesday, for an hour. We have services on Sabbath and Bible studies every other week. So we're trying to teach the word of Yahweh the best we can. And we can't force you to learn it. We can't force you to show up. But it's up to you if you want the knowledge. It's available. You understand? The word is available here at YPTC. You just have to choose to come get it. But here, what Joseph is doing, he's breaking it down that Yahweh did this. It wasn't you, my brethren. You didn't do this, even though you thought you were, you know, selling me into slavery, which they did. They thought that he had died. But Yahweh did this to preserve Israel. You understand? And he's going to preserve his elect in these last days, regardless of what Satan does. He's going to preserve his elect. Now, during that 3.5 years tribulation, we're going to look at that in a minute, he has two witnesses. Those two witnesses are teaching and preaching. During that 3.5 years, during the tribulation, all the other people of Yahweh are hidden. As Zephaniah says, hidden of Yahweh. They're protected here on the earth, not in heaven, as, you know, they're taught this rapture. They're taught that they're raptured away. No. They are here on the earth. Here, he says in verse 9, he says, make haste and go up to my father and say to him in this manner, says your son Joseph, Elohim has made me a ruler of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay, and you shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children and your children's children, and your flocks and your herds and all that you have. And there I will nourish you, for there are yet 5 years of famine, lest you come to poverty, you and your household and all that you have. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaks to you. And you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring down my father here. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, and Benjamin wept upon his neck, and he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them, and after that his brethren talked with him. See, and they were worried that he would be upset because of what they did, but he had forgiven them. You understand? Because he saw the bigger picture. He saw what Yahweh was doing. Yahweh was working with his family. Even though they thought they were doing something negative to him, it was for Yahweh. It was Yahweh's will that these things happened. Now, some of the things we're going through, you might think are negative. You might think you're struggling, you know, and there's a reason for it. There's always a reason for it. Yahweh knows what he's doing in your life. But you have to put him first, brother. He has to be first in your life. If you put anybody else, mother, father, sister, brother, child, before Yahweh, it's not going to work. That's the lesson. That's going to be hard for people to do. But you have to be able to separate between what's carnal and what's spiritual. He has given into your hand these children, these parents, these family members. He's given you what wealth you have. And like I said, most people here don't realize how blessed they are and how wealthy they are on the world's standard. But Yahweh's people are seeking something greater than what's in this world. Verse 16, and the report of it was heard in Pharaoh's house, saying, Joseph, brethren, have come. And it pleased Pharaoh well and his servants. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, say to your brethren, do this, load your beasts and go. Get you to the land of Canaan and take your father and your households and come to me. And I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and you shall eat the fat of the land. See, we often hear about the negativity. Egypt represents and is synonymous with sin. But at this time, Egypt was a blessing for Israel. It nourished Israel. Egypt was the number one nation in the on the earth at that time. Verse 19. Now you are commanded to do this. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. In other words, you can leave what you had in Canaan. You can leave that, because when you come to Egypt, you have the best. For the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the sons of Israel did so. And Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. To all them that he gave each man changes of raiment, clothing. But to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of clothing, raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner 10 asses loaded with good things of Egypt, 10 she-asses loaded with grain and bread and provision for his father by the way. So he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you fall not out by the way. And they went up out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan to Jacob their father. And they told him, saying, Joseph is still alive, and he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. And his heart fainted. And he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said to them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. It revived him. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. Almighty Yahweh is going to preserve his people. Let's go back over to Revelation chapter 12. The devil knows he has but a short time, brethren. He knows his time is almost up. So he's panicking. He's going to do anything he can to disrupt your life. He's going to do anything he can to try to destroy what Yahweh's building in your life. Verse 13, Revelation 12, 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast down to the earth, he persecuted the woman that brought forth the man-child. He persecuted Israel. And we can see this in the book of Daniel. We can see it throughout several of the book, 1st and 2nd Kings, and many other places. And there was given to the woman the 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the face of the serpent. 3.5 years during the tribulation, she's going to be nourished, protected from Satan the devil and the beast. Verse 15, and the serpent cast out of his mouth after the woman as a river, that he might cause her to be carried away by the stream. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the river which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Verse 17, and the dragon became exceedingly angry with the woman, and went away to make war with the remnant of her seed. That's us, brethren. The remnant of her seed that keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold the testimony of Yahshua. See, there are not a lot of groups, not a lot of people out here that keep the commandments and hold the testimony of Yahshua. They claim that they are Yahweh's people, yet they're not doing his will. They're not keeping his commandments. Romans chapter 9, verse 6. Romans 9, verse 6. But it is not as though the word of Yahweh has come to nothing, for they are not all Israel that are of Israel. And we see this every day. There are people out here that claim to be Israel, but they're not Israel. They're not willing to do Yahweh's commandments. They're not keeping the commandments. They are seeking their own way. Verse 7, neither because they are Abraham's seed are they all children of Yahweh. Yeah, Abraham has children that are what we would consider of the world today. Because the Brahmins, the Indians are children of Abraham. You have a lot of your Islamic nations are children of Abraham, but they're not children of the promise. They're not keeping the commandments of Yahweh. They don't have the covenant. They're not doing the will of Yahweh. Remember, John 4:22 says salvation is of the Jews. And that's through Yahshua the Messiah, the true seed of David. Neither because they are Abraham's seed are they all children, but in Isaac shall your seed be called. That is, it is not the children of the flesh that are the children of Yahweh, but the children of the promise are reckoned for a seed. And we have to be those children of the promise. We have to be those who are keeping that covenant. Verse 9, for this is a word of promise. According to this season will I come, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but Rebekah also, having conceived by one, even our father Isaac. For the children not yet being born, neither having done anything good or bad, that the purpose of Yahweh according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calls. It was said to her, the older shall serve the younger, even as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with Yahweh? No, by no means. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So, then it is not of him that wills, nor him that runs, but of Yahweh that has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose did I raise you up, that I might show you in your power, and that my name might be published abroad in all the earth. And truly it has been. That was in Exodus 9:14. And that was the evil Pharaoh that he was speaking to, not the one during the days of Joseph. So then he has mercy on whom he will, and whom he will he harden. Verse 19, then you will say to me, why does he still find fault? For who withstands his will? But know, O man, who are you that replies against Elohim? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why did you make me like this? And people do this all the time. They do it all the time. The pot talking to the maker, you know. Why did you make me like this? Or does the potter not have the right over the clay to make from the same lump one part a vessel of honor and another to dishonor? What if Elohim, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory upon the vessels of mercy, which he previously prepared for glory, even us, whom he also called, not from the Jews only, but also from the Gentiles. As he says also in Hosea, I will call that my people, which was not my people, and her beloved that was not beloved, where it was said to them, you are not my people, there shall they be called the sons of the living Elohim. And Isaiah cries concerning Israel, if the number of the children of Israel should be as the sand of the sea, it is the remnant that will be saved. And it is a remnant And we have to be that remnant, brethren. We have to be those of the seed of Israel, the spiritual seed, for Yahweh will execute his word upon the earth, finishing it and cutting it short. And as Isaiah has said before, except Yahweh's Sabaoth had left us a seed, we should have become as Sodom and should have been made like Gomorrah. Almighty Yahweh has called a righteous seed. He wants us to come before him and to do his will in these last days, to show that we love him, that we are truly the remnant that he has called. For our closing passage, turn over to Isaiah chapter 10. That's Isaiah chapter 10. I'm going to start in verse 5. Ho, Assyrian, the rod of my anger, the staff in whose hand is my indignation. I will send him against the profane nation, and against the people of my wrath will I give him charge, a charge, to take the plunder and to take the prey and to tread them down like the mire of the streets. The Assyrians were called of Yahweh. Remember, he sent Jonah, and Jonah didn't want to go. Because he knew what was happening. He knew that they were going to be used against Israel, his people. So what did Jonah do? He tried to go away from Nineveh as far as he could. But he ended up where? In Nineveh. Yeah, we went to see the play down at Sight and Sound, and that was really, really good. It was nice. However, in verse 7, he means not so, neither does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and to cut off nations, not a few. For he says, are not all my princes, all of them kings? Is not Calno as Carchemish? Is not Hamath as Arphad? Is not Samaria as Damascus? Samaria was the capital of Israel, Damascus the capital of Syria, as it is today. But Samaria is no longer the capital of Israel. Jerusalem is. The capitals have changed, you understand. As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images did excel them of Jerusalem and of Samaria, shall I not, as I have done to Samaria and her idols, so do to Jerusalem and her idols? Yahweh is in control. He has a right to do whatever he wants to do. We have to change our ways, brethren. We have to look at our lives and repent because Yahweh is righteous. The people are wicked. Therefore, verse 12, it shall come to pass that when Yahweh has performed his whole work upon Mount Zion, and on Jerusalem, I will punish the fruit of the stout heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his high looks. For he has said, by the strength of my hand have I done it, and by my wisdom, for I have understanding, and I have removed the bounds of the people and have robbed their treasures, and like a valiant man I have brought them down that sit on thrones. But he didn't realize it was Yahweh that allowed him to do so. And my hand has found as a nest the riches of the people. As one gathers eggs that are forsaken, have I gathered all the earth, and there was none that moved the wing or that opened the mouth or chirped. Shall the axe boast itself against him that hews with it? Shall the saw magnify itself against him that wields it? As if a rod should wheel them that lift it up, or as if a staff should lift up him that is not wood. Therefore will the sovereign Yahweh of hosts send among his fat ones leanness, and under his glory there shall be kindled a burning like the burning of fire. And the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his holy one for a flame, and it shall burn and devour the thorns and the briars in one day. And he will consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And it shall be as when a standard bearer faints, and the remnant of the trees of his forest shall be few, so that a child may write them down. Yahweh is going to consume and destroy the people of this earth. And it's going to happen very soon, brother. In verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and they that have escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again lean upon him that struck them, but shall lean upon Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. A remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, to the mighty El, for though you, your people of Israel, be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them shall return. A destruction is determined, overflowing with righteousness, for a full end, and that determined will the sovereign Yahweh of hosts make in the midst of all the earth. Almighty Yahweh has called the remnant of her seed his people, and has called them to return to him, to Shuva, to repent, and come back to the Holy One of Israel. Almighty Yahweh loves his people, and he wants each one of us to come back to him, to overcome this world so that we can be used for his honor and his glory. Would you all please rise at this time for a closing prayer? Almighty Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, we again humbly come before you. We bow our hearts before your throne of grace. We thank and praise your name, Father, for this day 49. It's a holy Sabbath day that we can come before you and worship you in spirit and in truth, to give all honor, glory, and praise to your name, and to yield to you, Father, because we know that you are in control of everything. And we trust you, Father. We trust in your holy name. And we ask, Father, that your will would be done in each and every one of our lives, and that we would be a blessing to you as we seek to overcome this world and Satan the devil. We thank you again, Father, for calling us out of this sinful world and into your marvelous light. Be a blessing to each one of your servants as we seek to be a blessing to you. And we thank you again, Father, for the great sacrifice of your Son, Yahshua the Messiah. And it's in his holy name we ask all these favors and blessings. Hallelujah. All right. At this time,